Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the CNC Football Factory. I am your host, CJ DeSimone, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Carlos the Hitman Sardinas. Carlos, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. It's been a wonderful, absolutely wonderful sports weekend so far. Just a lot of different things going on, so definitely been enjoying that. It's been a little slow on the New York Jets front in terms of news, but, you know, we are going to be joined a little bit later today with a guest who does his own blog talk radio show, I really don't want to butcher it, Feuerstein. I'll let him actually pronounce his name because I don't want to get it wrong, but he does Feuerstein Fire, covers New York Red Bulls, and is also an avid Jets fan. He's going to be joining us a little bit later today, so definitely looking forward to that. How are you, my man?
Oh, I am good. Let me tell you something. It is just going to be so good to talk football, to talk sports in general, rather than, of course, to, you know, for those of you who know me off the air, I work as a pharmacy technician. So, you know, I traditionally have to speak to people about their medications and stuff, and it'll just be so nice to not have to answer any questions if Prozac gives anybody vaginitis today. So I'm very happy about not having to answer any of those questions today.
So. All right, CJ. So we're actually joined right now with one Mr. Dan. Again, I don't want to butcher it. So I'll just say Dan's joining us now. He covers the Red Bulls. He's an avid New York sports fan. Dan, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing? Now, if you're wondering how you pronounce my last name, it's Feuerstein.
Feuerstein. Okay. All right.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
I did not want to butcher it, but I had to kind of let everyone know who's coming on.
You're not the first, but you wouldn't be the last, so that's okay.
Well, I'm used to people butchering my last name, too.
What in the hell?
All right, so... So, Dan, you were we're going to call in last week. We had some technical issues, but definitely want to get your take on the Jets offseason. I mean, news is kind of slow right now, but we're pretty much seeing what this roster is going to be come training camp time. So I wanted to get your take just on the different moves the Jets has made, anything that sticks out to you. You know, just you have the floor, my man. So,
well, I can say I'm very happy to wear my Revis jersey again. I mean, to see what Mike Maccagnan has done, and you can't say anything about Bowles just yet because obviously they haven't played a preseason game yet, so we can't really talk about Todd Bowles. But Mike Maccagnan so far, can I just say that I know it's early and I really should not jump the gun, but can I just say that he's the general manager that I've dreamed about that the Jets should have probably since. I mean, I wasn't alive when they won the Super Bowl, but I would have to say it had to be, you know, all the way back then. I mean, this guy has been absolutely unbelievable, bringing back Revis, bringing back Cromartie. He made a deal with the Bears to bring over Brandon Marshall. And, you know, the draft was absolutely brilliant. I just cannot believe, can I just say competency? I mean, it just sounds like this guy was groomed and ready to become a general manager in the NFL, and I am so glad and I am so happy that Robert Woody Johnson, with the assistance of Charlie Castlery, who is, of course, an NFL Network general manager now, as well as, I forgot who the other former general manager of this NFL...
Ronnie Wolf.
That's right, Ron Wolf.
Ron Wolf.
Those two steering Robert Woody Johnson in the right direction to tell him this is the guy you need to get, and you need to get him now, and he brought him over. I mean, the draft choices were excellent. Leonard Williams, oh, my God. I mean, look, I admit I'm not a big college football guy, but when you see the highlight tape of our first-round pick, I mean, you know, you're salivating. You're salivating because now that front seven is going to be more dangerous than anyone ever thought it would ever be. I mean, Sheldon Richardson, I do believe Muhammad Wilkerson will resign, and Leonard Williams, I mean, this kid is unbelievable. I just think that they've hit home run. He's hit home runs all over the place. And now you got the secondary revamped. Once again, your cornerbacks are absolutely beautiful. Revis and Cromartie are back. And, you know, offensively, the Jets have improved. But the one issue at the moment, and I think we'll all agree on this, quarterback. We don't know what's going to happen here with either Geno Smith or Ryan Fitzpatrick. At the moment, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is ahead of Geno, obviously, because he's more competent of an NFL quarterback than Geno is. But then again, you know, look, I don't want to give up on the kid. I know many Jet fans want to say, well, listen, let's get rid of him. He's done. You know, that makes no sense to have him. I know he was Idzik's pick. As bad as he was as a free agent GM or with the, you know, fine, he did great with the cap, and he left all this great salary cap dough for Maccagnan to spend. And yes, he's an idiot, but I mean, once in a while you have to say, sometimes an idiot, you know, a blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while. And the Chris Ivory trade was that one. The Jace Amaro pickup was another. Sheldon Richardson was also on his watch, so he drafted him too. That's the only good things you can talk about, Idzik. Other than that, he's a complete idiot. But other than that, quarterback is the issue. Quarterback is the issue right now. Will Bryce Petty, is he the real future if Geno doesn't do the job? He could be. I mean, he's more of a project right now. But right
I,
now,
I don't
want to
see Bryce Petty touch the field this year. I don't.
Yeah,
I've seen
I really
some
don't.
People come out and say, oh, can Bryce Petty push this year? And I don't want him touching the field. Put a red shirt on him, wrap him in bubble wrap, whatever you got to do. But he needs to sit. We've done this time and time again. I don't want to see Bryce Petty thrown out there to the wolves too early.
What is your major malfunction, numbnut?
CJ over here going
because
crazy.
Because exactly what that's exactly what Jet Nation will be screaming if Bryce Petty does happen to take the field this year.
And a friend of mine who also has a Blog Talk Radio show, his name is Michael Cohen. It's called Open Mic Show. He's a Jet fan too. We were talking many, many times off the air just to tell, you know, look, we don't want the Jets to draft either Jameis Winston, even though it looks like he's got the goods, but Tampa Bay was going to pick him up anyway. We didn't want him to draft Marcus Mariota because we feel we don't want, you know, we just want to break from drafting a big name quarterback that might not make it, that might not be the one. We just want to, you know, maybe next year would have been the quarterback year in the draft. See what's going to happen. But this year, we're just talking to each other. We're like, you know, look, don't bother with a quarterback now. I mean, Bryce Petty, fine. If he's a project, I agree with you guys. Redshirt him, bubble wrap him. Don't even bother letting him see the field at all. Preseason, we know he's going to see something, but other than that, leave it alone. That's it. Other than that, Mike Maccagnan, I've heard like on NFL Network, Jet fans had some sort of open house to talk to both Maccagnan and Todd Bowles. Right now, it's Maccagnalicious. That's for me. That's his nickname for me. I don't care.
Yeah, so they had a meeting for season ticket holders out in, I believe, Long Island. And so a number of Jets fans that, you know, obviously pay a good amount of money to attend the games and pay for
don't
the PSLs. All? And they're paying for Woody Johnson's executive assistant on top of everything else. They were
all
able to meet Coach Bowles and Mike Maccagnan and interact with them. And from everything I saw, most Jets fans that are season ticket holders are quite impressed with the first time meeting the new regime.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me just say this. I am excited to see what Todd Bowles can do. I want to see what he's going to do given this opportunity as his first time as an NFL head coach. But I want to say that I did feel bad for Rex. I felt bad for Rex. I mean, you would have to admit, you know, you loved his bravado, you loved his, calling out Bill Belichick, saying, I'm not going to kiss his rings and everything, and, you know, you loved it. I felt he got sabotaged, but you know what? The truth of the matter is that Woody Johnson got it wrong, because if you're going to change GMs, you got to change coaches. And Rex, while I loved what he did under the, you know, with the 8-8 with John Idzik as general manager the first year, you just knew he got sabotaged, and I really felt bad for him. And but look, it had to be done. I wish, you know, you can't fire, you know, Idzik and then expect Rex to survive that. You know what I mean? You just can't do
it. Absolutely. I mean, it was botched back in 2012. It completely was botched with basically Woody Johnson kind of forcing Rex on whoever is going to come in. That limited the pool of candidates, of qualified candidates, and we
That's
ended up
being
with
a jackass.
You know. Yes, that is, CJ. You just got to hit the button, don't you? Just have to hit the button. No.
I love you, man.
But yeah, it was completely botched back 2 years ago. It kind of feels like we're hitting another reset button, and the whole retooling process has been kind of delayed a couple years. Fortunately, you know, we're spending wisely. I mean, there's one thing to just go out there and pass out money left and right, but a lot of the contracts outside of, you know, Revis really don't really hinder the team in a long-term way.
No.
So I also like that.
Me
you
too.
Know, some other GMs could go out there and just spend money left and right, but
right.
not have that flexibility going forward. And most of the contracts we're in, save Revis and maybe Screen, really don't hinder the team long-term.
No. And that's the one thing you want. That's the one thing
mm-hmm.
you want to see. You want to see wiggle room by a general manager who's that intelligent. And that's why, like I said, I love McCagnan. I mean, you can tell that this guy has done everything the right way, scouting. He's, you know, I mean, you know, we're just grateful that, you know, thank you to the Houston Texans for developing him and letting the Jets pick him up. It's fantastic. You can tell I cannot stop. I cannot stop talking about McCagnan. I mean, this guy is just absolutely a general manager. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, you know, past general managers, whether it's the New York Football Giants, the Colts, the Bears, that have had these types of situations in front of them, that they know what to do. They know how to work the salary cap. And that's the one thing I think has been missing. I mean, fine. Tannenbaum was called a capologist at first, yes. Then later on, he just messed up. Where he messed up, I don't know, but you can tell that all
no,
of a
I'll
sudden...
No, I'll tell you where he messed up.
Oh,
you want to know where he
go
messed up,
me.
Daniel? I'll
you
tell you
ahead,
where he messed
me.
Up.
You go
okay.
ahead and tell
he
me.
He messed up the first part by signing Sanchez to an unbelievable extension in which
oh,
he was not...
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, that he was not privy to. Okay, number one. Number two... Okay, he essentially rewarded players for underperforming their current contracts. That's
yep.
where he screwed up. Now, if Tannenbaum really wanted to make a name for himself or really wanted to separate himself as a good GM, a well-balanced GM, okay, he would have cut the dead weight back then, okay,
yep.
would have relied a little bit heavier on the draft, and the Jets would have obviously taken a different trajectory at that point. Would
yep.
it have worked out? We don't know. It's all speculation. But you want to know something? The first glaring mistake that he did was signing Sanchez to that monster contract, the monster extension, which handcuffed the Jets in their ability to upgrade skill position players in which they desperately needed. So essentially, you want to know something? I hate to say this, and I'm sure I'm probably going to get crucified for it, but you know what? When the Jets drafted Mark Sanchez, aside from his first 2 years, they essentially neutered him. They essentially
yep.
ruined his career. Mark
yep.
Sanchez is going to be nothing more than a journeyman backup who's good for 3rd-and-3 and throwing a quick out to some idiot who's lucky to catch the ball for the first time.
And they play in Philly.
No. Exactly.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
You're absolutely right.
About the
Sanchez.
And here's the other thing too. I don't know if Woody Johnson forced Tannenbaum to get Tebow. But let me just say this:
Oh, you know
I
did.
I like the
Come
guy.
Come on now.
No, yeah, no,
Come
listen.
On now. They were so desperate. They were so desperate for positive headlines.
I know.
Positive headlines because there was all this garbage of crap that was going on in the locker room. There was all this. Tim Tebow came in and saved the Jets. But you want to know something? He didn't save the Jets the way they needed him to save the Jets. He didn't come in and save the Jets the way they needed him to. Okay, the whole purpose that Tim Tebow should have been brought in was strictly for his ability. Not having him be the personal front protector, not bringing him in on specialized wildcat plays that, you know, amassed with negative yardage because Tony Sperano had his head so far up his ass he looked like a Q turning sideways. All right? So, you know, they needed to actually let this kid come in and compete for the starting quarterback job. He got the shaft. I don't care what anybody says.
No,
okay, he got the
don't
chef coming here. It'd be a different story if he came out and he threw there and
we unleashed
like
the secret passion of CJ's, which is the Tim Tebow love, just so you know, Daniel.
Now, let me just say this. Now, I want to say this here about Tim Tebow, myself personally. I think he's a great kid. He's a great guy. You know, he's got a lot of self-confidence, which I like. But let me just say this. I don't feel he's really a quarterback. I'm sorry. I mean, I just don't feel he's a quarterback. I understand where he's coming from, and I respect his opinion. This is not, you know, I'm hating on the Tim Tebow or anything like that. I just personally feel he's correct. He's not a punt protector. He's not this. He's not that. I feel he's more maybe of a running back or a fullback, maybe even a tight end. And I wouldn't mind seeing him being out there as that position. You want him as a gadget quarterback, gadget plays, fine. That's fine. But I just don't feel he's like a real quarterback out there because I don't want to see the Jets run, you know, quarterback sneak every single play. That's how I feel.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only negative I have about Tim Tebow, you know. And the mechanics are off. I mean, he needs to have his mechanics reworked. And if it does happen that he ever gets his mechanics reworked, then that'd be great, and you know, good luck to the Eagles or whatever. But
So one thing I gotta just mention here is look back at the season when we had Tim Tebow there and we were running the Wildcat. I'm like, did anyone really think that when Tim Tebow was out there, we were going to be chucking the ball around the field? I mean, wasn't it just plainly obvious what was going to happen when you pulled Mark Sanchez and you slapped in Tim Tebow? Everyone knew what was going to happen. I guess.
That's when they stacked eight, nine in the box.
Everyone knew. Of course it was obvious. What, you put 7, 8, 9 in the box? And you stop in Tim Tebow in the run? Of course it was obvious. I mean, look, here's a situation where, and this is when we had Brad Smith. As, you know, when you had Brad Smith for the Jets, you know, no one knew what to expect of him. Either he was going to throw the ball or he was going to run with the ball.
Right.
And Brad Smith is more of a dynamic runner, which obviously we know he used to be a quarterback in college, but you know, he used it as the personal, you know, timeout for Mark Sanchez. That basically, fine, you gave him a down off. Here comes Brad Smith, and he was more dynamic than Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow was like straight ahead. Brad Smith, you didn't even know it was going to be straight ahead. Far side or near side, running with the ball. You know what I mean? I mean, he was great with the kickoff returns. He scored, what, 3, 4, 5 touchdowns on kickoff returns a season? I mean, especially when they won the first time in the state of Pennsylvania at the Steelers in the regular season. I mean, that game was unbelievable. It's like you come from whatever CBS 1 o'clock game to that game at 4 o'clock. Here's Brad Smith. All the way down the field, touchdown Jets. Oh, my God, there's a flag. No, they're picking it up. We're keeping 6 points. Off you go. You know, it was great. But
yeah,
I got to tell you, this guy, Brad Smith, was a lot better on, call it the Wildcat, call it whatever the hell you want. Brad Smith
was more dynamic, more dangerous than Tebow. No, it wasn't even called the Wildcat when he was in. It was called the Seminole package.
Right.
Let me get one thing out real quick with Tebow. You know, one of the biggest mistakes I think they did was fattening him up like a calf in the preseason to turn him into some kind of fullback. I mean, he was already plenty strong. But did you really need to fatten him up, you know, to like another 20 pounds so he could be a really good punt protector?
and slow him down in the run game. And
if anything, I would have
more. That's where I agree with him. No, that's where I do agree with him. I felt bad that they set him up to be basically the GOAT for no reason. Or just okay, we're going to bring him in, but we're not going to do anything. Look, I don't think Rex wanted him, okay? I agree with that. I don't think Rex wanted Tebow. But you got him anyway. You should have used him the right way. Rex did not want to use Tebow. He didn't want this, he didn't want Tim Tebow on his team. And you know what? I can understand that, but still, you had to use him more than just as punt protector. You know, you got him. You got to use him not as a wildcat guy. You want to use him consistently on the offense. You didn't want to throw, you put him out there as quarterback, fine. Fullback, tight end, whatever you want. Give someone a break so you can put Tim Tebow out there, even if it is Sanchez, fine. But still, you know what? I did feel bad for him. You know, I'm the type of Jet fan where I care about every single person on the roster, and I want them to be used the right way, or I want their abilities to shine. If it doesn't shine, I'll say something. If the coaching staff does not use that player the correct way, I'll go against the coaching staff because it's not fair to the player. And I want the team to win. I want them to win, but I'm not going to, like, complain. Can I say the words? I don't want to bitch and moan about, you know, players that are not going to play to their ability. Like, let's put it this way. When Santonio Holmes basically is screwing around out on the field, you know, because he's not getting the balls thrown to him and he's acting like a jerk in the locker room, you know, you don't need that pariah, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
and I think, you know, you mentioned it, coaching staff putting players in a position where they'll succeed. And I think that's one area that Rex Ryan would just didn't excel in. He was forcing a square peg into a round hole sometimes with some of the decisions. You know, having Copels be a true outside linebacker, not lining him up to try to rush the passer, which that naturally wasn't what he played in college. It's not suiting him to the best of his abilities. Slapping Antonio Allen out there as a cornerback, I don't care what you say. He was partially ruined by that move, period.
Yeah.
And it was unnecessary because towards the end of the year, you saw other guys. No, they weren't great, but natural cornerbacks actually playing their position. The defense played a little bit better towards the end of the season once you took Antonio Allen out of that situation. And this was a political game where he was trying to make Idzik look like a fool for not getting him cornerbacks, cutting off his nose despite his face.
Yep, and that's the one thing that you don't really need a head coach to do. Look, like we said before, Idzik, he had plenty of faults. He had a couple of good moments in the draft, drafting good college players. The trade that brought over Chris Ivory. I love Chris Ivory. I hope he'll stay. I know they got Stephen Ridley over here on free agency, another expatriate, but still, Chris Ivory is a future star for this team, a future running back star as well in the league. I really want to see Ivory shine here. I don't want him to go anywhere else. I know certain head coaches have favorites or they feel this guy's going to work in their system.
Hello.
Not let go of Chris Ivory. Because I really love what he did. I didn't like it when he's like, you know, in last year's season opener against the Raiders, you know, he breaks through and he's like halfway pointing his finger forward like, I'm going to go. And then you're almost catching up to him and he's just barely gets into the end zone. You don't want that. But I love Ivory. I love Ivory and I really don't want to see McCagnan or Bowles let him go. I think he's going to really be a breakout superstar in this league.
So
yeah,
what do you make of the moves?
I mean, provided
at the running back
healthy
position. What do you make of those moves? I mean, we bring in Ridley, we bring in Stacy, we have Ivory, and we've got Powell there. I mean, it seems like outside of Powell, we kind of have a lot of different versions of the same guy. What do you think the angle is there?
I think the angle is that you need a veteran running back like Ridley to maybe steer Chris Ivory. I mean, I'm not saying he went the wrong way. I'm just saying maybe Ridley's there just to help Ivory out to become a better running back because of all those years being in New England. Powell is just third string. I just think you need a third string running back. He's okay. I don't have a problem with Powell. I like what he's done in the short amount of work he's been able to do. I just think right now Ivory is the future of the team, and Ridley's just probably going to try and stick around for another year or two. I think Ridley is just there as a veteran, as a wily veteran that who probably still has some ability left over, but will also help out Ivory as well. Wide receivers, I mean, like I said, I love Marshall. I love Decker. I like Curley. You know, that was the one thing that I just felt bad about Curley in his rookie year, or at least, you know, in his second year. I mean, basically, you just refuse to get wide receiver help when Santonio Holmes got that Lisfranc injury. I mean, isn't that a weird injury? I mean, you know,
yeah,
you know about the human...
It's a very catchy injury, believe it or
it
not.
It is.
I mean, it's one of those... It's one of those injuries that it's not like a specific surgical procedure that can cure it. It's one of those things. A little bit of history about the Lisfranc injury. It's one of those injuries that surgery can in fact correct, but the problem is that it depends if it's in an area of the foot where it can be operated on.
Right.
Sometimes with the Lisfranc injury, and this is exactly in which Santonio Holmes suffered it, his Lisfranc injury could not be operated on.
Yeah.
Because of where the particular injury took place.
Right.
So now the only thing that he could do is he could take muscle relaxants, he could take anti-inflammatories, and essentially it's rest. You have to let the body's natural healing ability take over.
Right.
Whereas if he would have actually parted it down the middle of the Lisfranc, yeah, they could go in, they could arthroscopically repair it, and then 6 to 8 weeks, you could be back up on the field. He may experience some pain or discomfort or even some swelling, but
yep,
you take medication to combat that. Now,
right,
with the Lisfranc, the way that Santonio Holmes had it, his was such a complicated injury that where his injury occurred, you couldn't have surgery on it because
right,
they couldn't get to it. So, you know, that's what also made it worse.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, that's one of those weird things. Like, I never knew about it. I mean, I'm also a Yankee fan, and you know Chenming Wong.
Yep.
You know, he was the great Taiwanese pitcher. I mean, you couldn't touch him.
Oh, yeah. I love Chenming Wong.
And then, you know, this is where, I mean, I don't know if you're Met fans or not, but the thing is like, you know, this is where you wish the National League would ban the pitchers hitting.
Nope.
But
no, but actually,
you're,
believe
you're,
or not,
you're in
you
good
know,
company, my friend. We're both Yankees fans, so
yeah. There actually, you got you know what Mets actually stands for, though, right, Daniel?
You're gonna piss off half our listeners now, aren't you, CJ?
Oh, it's okay. Go ahead. Don't worry. My wife's a Mets fan. I'll probably let her know. She'll probably be angry with me all day long. What does it mean?
Well,
all right,
well, during the 2000 World Series, when the Yankees faced the Mets in the Subway Series,
yes,
okay, there were some Yankee fans that were actually trolling some Mets fans, and Mets actually stands for my entire team stinks.
yes, the gift that just keeps on giving.
God giving.
But anyway, you know, Wong had to touch home plate, and the Lisfranc thing popped up on him, and I had no
yep
idea that's what it was at the time. I'll be honest, man, I didn't know that was the idea, and I felt so bad for him, and he hasn't been the same since, and, you know, it's just one of those tricky ones. You pray to God you step right and you don't step wrong.
Mm. You know, and it's funny, when I was watching Santonio go down, I mean, to me, I was like, oh, man, ACL's gone. Like, he dropped.
That's what I thought.
Just like that.
That's my first thought was ACL's out. That or Achilles.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He just dropped. And come to find out later, it actually, you know, the injury itself and the fact that you couldn't really do much about it, it turned out being worse for him than if it was an ACL or an Achilles.
Yeah.
Yeah, because an ACL or the Achilles, you could actually go in, have a surgical procedure, and again, within 6 to 8 weeks, 10 weeks, sometimes depending on rehab, you can get yourself back on the field. With Lisfranc, that's a completely different animal because it may or may not heal 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one of the tricky ones right there. Now, I want to have a little fun with you guys because I have an issue about the name of your show. Because
you have an issue with the name
tiny,
of our show?
The tiny issue. It's just a tiny issue because
okay,
this is – now, let me just throw out the scenario. The season that the Jets got Brett Favre as the quarterback, and you know how great he was the first 10, 11 games of the season before the whole the whole crap fell apart.
Yeah, exactly.
I was at the game where Brett Favre went ballistic and just threw 6 to 8 touchdown passes to both Jericho Cotchery and Lavernius Coles.
Okay.
And I called it, and I called those guys the CNC Touchdown Factory.
You stole my idea!
No. Look, yeah, Coles and Cotchery. I mean, that's a law firm on the field if you ever saw one. I mean, like, boom, 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 boom. It's in the end zone, and it's all over for the Cardinals. I mean, that was great.
I remember that game. I remember that game. Anquan Boldin got injured from Eric Smith in the end zone where he had
off.
That's the way he got his face broken.
Wow. I felt bad for Boldin. I felt bad for him because you don't want to see that. You really don't.
Oh, jeez, he came back like the next. I mean, it was insane to me. He came back the next week. I mean, I saw that injury. I'm like, good. This dude's done for the year. Came back with a faceplate. The guy's tough as nails. I mean, you know, an unsung hero. I know he got to his credit, but he basically gave the Ravens a Super Bowl with his performance. He made Flacco look amazing.
I know.
I mean, he doesn't get enough credit. He really doesn't.
No, definitely.
Kurt Warner says it all the time, not for anything. Kurt Warner says it all the time.
Yep. Absolutely. But, yeah, that game was, like, unbelievable. I think it was, like, 3 touchdown passes to Coles and 3 touchdown passes to Cotchery. I mean, to see how – and let me just say this. Do you miss Cotchery sometimes? I miss him.
Yeah, I do.
You know, I still see him out there. I'm like, man, you know what? He was a football player.
Yeah.
Not super dynamic, but you know what? I think he was starting or at least a number 3 wide receiver for, like, Carolina last year. You've seen him with the Steelers. And he's just making plays. He might not have
that's
the huge numbers, but he's making plays. He's getting first downs. He's getting touchdowns. He's moving. He's advancing the football.
Exactly.
And, yeah,
that's
you need someone like that.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, when he was on the Jets, you know, he worked his way from being a number 3 to a number 1. Or if you want to say a 1A or a number 2, that's fine. You know, you relied on Cotchery whenever you needed him to get you that first down or to get you that touchdown. I mean, who doesn't remember that season opener with Brett Favre as the quarterback down in Miami? He fakes the handoff. He's just back in the pocket. He's just standing there holding the ball, like, behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
And Cotchery's going down the far sideline, and there goes Favre, heaving that sucker all the way down. And there's Cotchery, and he grabs it, and he's got daylight all in front of him, and it's a touchdown. And that's where you told your friends that are Miami Dolphins fans. Who the hell is a Miami Dolphins fan up here? I don't understand why in New York there's all these Dolphins fans and bastards. And you just turn around.
There's plenty
around
us down here in Florida.
You look at them, and you're like, ha-ha, you don't have Cotchery.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, another one of Brett Favre's favorite receivers that, believe it or not, shortly after Brett Favre left the Jets, you never heard from again, was Chauncey Stuckey.
Oh, God, that catch was insane. Wasn't that catch insane? I could not believe it. Even Favre, I mean, you thought he was going to get sacked. Like, they missed the first time. You thought, okay, here comes the other guy. They missed the second time. He just heaved it. He didn't even look.
Mm-hmm.
He heaved it. And Stuckey's right there. It's unbelievable. I mean, I know you had to make the deal to bring over Sanchez, even like we agree. I mean, you know, they ruined him and everything. But, you know, I'm like, why you got to get rid of Stuckey? He's a future wide receiver. You haven't heard from him in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and also with Cotchery, going back to that, I mean, don't forget how he helped Mark Sanchez. You remember 2009? I mean, you needed the first down. Guess where the ball was going?
Cotchery.
It was going to Cotchery. It went right to him. You could set your watch to it. On game-winning drive after game-winning drive, yes, Holmes made some plays. Edwards made some plays. When you needed the first down, it was getting checked down to Cotchery. And almost every time.
That's it.
And yeah, absolutely missed that guy. You know, he's still out there producing. The kind of veteran wide receiver that you don't want to have leave your team. I know, you know,
exactly.
It's business, things happen. But, you know, I definitely was upset when he left for the Steelers.
Oh, absolutely. And let's not forget the game in Cleveland where he died a hero. Remember that one?
Oh,
he got
yeah.
injured? where he got injured. You know, that's like the baseball terminology. When you break your bat and you get on base, like the bat died a hero. That's what happened to Koch with the injury. It's like, it's like, you know, Sanchez was just trying to get out of a sack, and he threw it to Kotchery, who bobbled it, but he hurt himself before he came back to catch that ball, and then he got the first down, and that was the end of the game for him because he hurt his leg. I don't think it was an ACL. I think it was some sort of a maybe an ankle injury or something like that, but like I said, he died a hero because he came back to help. He got the injury going, making his route. And I guess when he stopped to cut back, that's where he got the injury, and he limped so fast to get back to the first down marker to get the first down, and then they tackled him, and it's like unbelievable. That's the type of guy you wish they would never have let go, because they brought over some veteran wide receiver from the Ravens, where you know they didn't need him, and he never fit. And I forgot his name. I think Corey Smith.
Jacoby Ford.
That's it, Jacoby Ford. He did not fit for our team. Fine, you bring over Plaxico Burress, he didn't do much either. But you got to get those two to get rid of Kotchery. Give me a break.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well,
you took a huge step backward.
We're light years ahead of that time frame, and you know we've got a new group of wide receivers, a new group of they're new compared to the era we're talking about. I wanted to ask you a question. There's a ton of competition at the wide receiver position. I mean, there's like 10 guys right now on the roster. They're going to compete for five or six spots. What do you think is going to shake out when it comes towards the bottom of that depth chart? I mean, obviously Marshall's going to be there, Decker's going to be there, Curley and Devin Smith, pretty much a given. But how about those last couple spots? And you know, all those these different guys out there, like Osuwusu, I can never pronounce his actual name when I'm on the air. Yeah.
I'd like to buy a vowel, Osuwusu. Please.
Hey,
show knows when it starts, when the names start getting a little weird, I tend to butcher them.
That's right.
It's part of the charm of the show.
That's right.
But, I mean, there's a ton of guys.
It's okay.
Let me
tell
you.
They're
at the bottom of the depth chart.
You know, I have to say that anytime the Jets play the Dolphins and you get this wide receiver that just comes out of the blue and torches them and just makes the Dolphins look silly, I want to root for that guy. And Owusu, I want him to stay. I would love to see him stay on the Jets. We don't know what these other wide receivers are going to do. I guess it's all about training camp and what they're going to do in the preseason games. But right now, I'm going to go with Owusu. I want to see him really shine because this kid looks like he could be a future number two on any team in this league. But, you know, like I said, I'm going way too far here. I'm holding on to guys that, I mean, you know who these guys are. These are the guys that, okay, they just got drafted from maybe a Division II school. Maybe they're like, you know, they played in the Canadian Football League or in the Arena Football League, and then they get their real opportunity in the NFL, and they just do enough to, you know, get that opportunity, and then they got to prove themselves again because now you have a new head coach coming in, a new general manager coming in. This is the kid I hope he stays, and I really hope he does it because I think he's going to be a little bit more valuable than whoever else they brought in. But we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen when we get the training camp.
Yeah, there's a ton of guys competing for that were brought in last year. Shaq Evans, who was injured pretty much all last season, didn't have a great preseason to begin with, but it was like a fourth rounder or something like that. T.J. Graham, Salim Akeem, which is some fans really, really like the Salim the Dream, maybe just for the nickname, which we traded for Devier Posey from the Texans. Inunwa is also there. A lot of people liked him. And all these guys are battling for basically like one or two spots. It's going to be very interesting. I think whoever can contribute special teams the most will make it. Because it's going to be tough to really hit the field.
Yeah, I agree with you with that. And let's not forget Greg Salas.
Yeah.
He signed with Detroit. He signed with the Lions last week, yeah.
I never liked him anyway. Get rid of him.
Revisionist history, Dan. Revisionist history.
That's right.
That's it.
Well, I will
he signed with Detroit. He might actually get a pretty decent shot to be a three or four over there. So
I agree.
Good for him.
I agree.
Yeah.
I liked what he did. I mean, I remember you remember that Saints game where he just got that little pass, and you think he caught the ball, but he has deceptive speed that really fools the defense. So, look, good for Detroit.
Yeah,
they got a good wide receiver. Yeah, good for him. That's all you can say.
So does T.J. Graham. So does Chris Owosu. Chris Owosu is ridiculous. Chris Owosu, when he runs, reminds me of Dietrich Ward.
Yes.
So Dietrich Ward was like one of those
guys
that was
Who does not remember that throw by Vinny to Dietrich Ward down the sideline at Foxborough, at Foxborough Stadium? Oh, you got to listen to this. This is a great story. I'm a Disney fan. I'll admit it. I'm a fan of Disney, Mickey Mouse
and
everything. And I did the Disney College program when I was in college, spring of 93, and I went back summers of 94, 95, 96, 97. I stayed a little longer in 98. And this is where they have the Boardwalk Resort. They got the ESPN Zone sports bar and restaurant.
Okay.
Went there for Sunday Night Football. And you know how you know these jerks in Boston. I don't have to tell you. You guys know.
Not at all.
You know how they are. They're still like this today. And all of a sudden, it's halftime. And this is when Parcells was our head coach that year. And they have these guys, and they're talking to, like, you know, Jet fans, Patriot fans. I mean, the room was basically 80-20 Patriots. I'll be honest with you. And then these Patriots fans, you know, the Patriots are leading at halftime. Oh, it's in the bag. It's in the bag. We're going to beat the Jets like we always do, blah, blah, blah. I go down there. I get on the microphone. I said, let me tell you something. The last time the Jets were in this position at Foxborough, they came back. They tied the game. They lost in overtime, but this time they're going to win the game. And that's where the Jets ran them all over the place. And that's where you remember the 50-yard line throw, the 50-yard throw by Vinny, right to Dietrich Ward down the sideline. Touchdown Jets. That was the big final nail in the coffin in the game. I think that was Monday Night Football. It was Monday Night Football. And then at the end of the game, those two jerks turn around and they give me the middle finger. I'm like, hey, it's Disney. Put them away.
Oh, man. Yeah, great story. A lot of stories like that with Vinny, man, like the comeback with Miami. I'll still never forget that either.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What a game.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. I remember the bar that I was at that I was watching that game, and people started leaving, and, you know, they were like, oh, the Jets suck. This is ridiculous. They're going to get killed and so on. So, like, me and my friends, we didn't care. We were just hanging around.
Oh, the
you know, we had
America.
Our pizza on, our nachos, and then all of a sudden the comeback was on, and all those guys were trying to – well, everybody who left was trying to come back in, and the bar owner was like, take a walk. Take it up the block.
No, you left. You said goodnight. Goodbye.
Exactly.
Your seat's taken, guys.
Man,
get out of here.
Man. I went home a winner that night.
Oh, let me tell you something. I could not believe that Jumbo Elliott was the eligible receiver in that one. That was crazy. I mean, you're pulling out – you know, that's the one thing that really bothers me about that year. It's like, okay, fine. Parcells retired. We already know about who the jerk is in New England that's running that team in Belichick. And here's Al Groh, and he left after 1 year. He just like, that's it. I don't want to be here anymore. He went back to college. And I'm like, you know, he'll always be a part of it.
Because the Jets lost the last three games in a row, and all they needed to do was win one. And they crucified him in the New York media, and he was like, you know what, the hell with this, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God, I was at the game against Detroit where it was a chip shot. The field goal was a chip shot, and you went wide. How the hell did you go wide on a chip shot?
Oh, my God. And I'm sure the kicker's response would have been, but the laces were out.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no.
He's now Captain Winky.
Exactly. He found Captain Winky. So Captain Winky was on the field and I was scared.
But really, guys, we're Snowflake. Like, seriously, I'm trying to find him.
I know. It's unbelievable and everything.
All right,
now
let's gather in. Let's try to talk a little bit about this season. We talked a little bit earlier about Coach Bowles, and obviously, you know, we haven't seen anything yet, right? You know, we've had like one rookie training camp. Really, we've had a lot of talk. I mean, you know, not overly bragging by any means, but we've had talk and news conferences, and that's pretty much it. But what do you think, and I know it's hard to tell, but based on prior history, what do you think Bowles brings to the table that, you know, we weren't getting from Rex Ryan?
One thing is this. Bowles is local. We know that. And I think that's a good thing because he knows this area a lot better. Rex was more boisterous, more, hey, look at me. This is what I'm going to bring you. This is what I'm going to promise you. And he almost promised it the first 2 years of his tenure as head coach. But I think Bowles right now, like I agree with you, I don't know what we're going to get, but I would like to think we're going to get a guy who knows the area, who knows what this area is looking for, that wears green and white, that we haven't seen in a long time. But at the same time, you know, you hear all these great things about, you know, when he ran the Cardinals defense when he was the defensive coordinator. I think we're going to get probably Bowles' version of Rex, but he's going to be a little bit more quieter, and he is not going to be as, you know, hey, here's what I'm throwing at you, try and stop us. I think Bowles is going to be a little bit more trickier. I think he's going to be a little bit more quieter, obviously. I think he's just going to be your typical NFL coach, that he's not going to tell you what's coming. So I would like to think that's what Bowles is going to do, because while it's great to be out there to scream out, hey, listen, what you're going to know. I'm going to tell you what's coming, and if you can't stop it, you're going to go down like a ship, you know, with a big hole in its bow. I just think Bowles is going to be a little more quieter. I think he's going to be a little bit more proactive, but not show it that much, you know, on the field. He's just going to try and outwork you and try and outthink you. So we'll have to wait and see, and that's the hope here. That's really the hope. Like we've said before already, we're going to have to wait and see what's going to be during the season, during the preseason games, maybe to see what training camp is going to be like, you know, how he disciplines his players if they're out of line. We don't know what Bowles is going to do, but I'd like to think that Bowles knows the area very well, and Bowles will put his foot down when he has to.
Yeah, I think
that's the
important thing. The one thing I expect to see, and from just what the players are saying, obviously it's kind of typical talk, oh, yeah, you know, new sheriff in town, going to be accountability and things. But I think the accountability and the loyalty to a fault of Rex to specific players was a real problem that just kind of manifested itself when we were losing tenfold. But it was great when we were winning because, you know, back in 2009 and 2010, the loyalty to the players was good, justified in those veterans because they were performing. But then when they stopped performing in 2011 and 12, the loyalty to those players was still there. And the lack of accountability led to seasons that were just worse than they needed to be. And I think that's the difference. I think the accountability and then, you know, not being beholden to any one player, but being beholden to getting the best player out there on the field.
I mean, let's be honest with ourselves here because, look, like I said before, I loved Rex. I loved the bravado. I loved his talk. I loved everything. It's like, you know, this is what we needed at the time, and it was going well. But the sad thing is that when he got sabotaged, not just by some of the players, but we all know who the real saboteur was, who's right now coaching the Browns, that little jerk. You know, he's the one that started – let's be honest. He's the bastard that started the whole thing about, you know, fine – you want to crap on Sanchez? Oh, here's the, you know, and of course, who else? I don't know if you have your favorite reporters of the New York media, if you hate some of these reporters, but that guy at the Daily News, Manish Mehta, I don't care if I say it till I'm blue in the face. That jerk does not deserve to cover the Jets for the way he treats this NFL team. I mean, you know, he's the one that probably waited for that guy to go up to him and say, hey, listen, Rex is a jerk, Rex is an idiot, he doesn't know what he's doing. Everybody hates Sanchez, everybody hates Tebow, and you don't want this in an NFL locker room. Why are you starting all of this? Why are you going to the biggest rat covering the Jets, and he wants to, like, crap on them, you know, from start to finish? I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous. That, I mean, obviously he has his own agenda, and that's fine, whatever, but that's not fine when you're trying to sabotage a season intentionally.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then, of course, you know, I actually, if you go back in our archives when we first started our show, I think it was like the second or third show in, Carlos would probably remember, I actually went off and did a Manish Mehta rant. And for a little while, it was
there's not just one, man. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, that's just one.
There's
between
one.
Him and Stephen Hill, forget it. I could compile a whole soundtrack.
Yeah.
But, you know, essentially, you know, it's a privilege to cover the New York Jets.
It is.
And as a beat writer, it's your responsibility to not only cover the negative, but also to cover the positive. But at the same right, not that I'm saying that you need to be a homer and you need to tell everybody everything's all sunshine and rainbows and so on and so forth, but at least be objective.
Absolutely.
Be objective. Okay?
Absolutely.
And the problem was that everything with him was the sky is falling, the Jets stink, everybody hates everybody, the whole organization is in turmoil, and, like, you think that, you know, the New York Jets organization is like the second coming of, like, Chernobyl. And you know,
I get that. You're right, but as much as I didn't really care for Mehta's coverage, the approach that the team, from the front office on down to the coaching staff, had kind of fueled the fire even more. And I'm not saying it's right.
Yeah, of course it did.
Man, it fed right into it, creating a perfect storm.
Yeah, of course he did.
No,
yeah,
absolutely. No, and you're right. I mean, you both you guys are right. Yeah. Some of it is the Jets' fault, which I do agree with. But you know, the point is, you know, the guy does not need their help to become a real jerk.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let him off the hook.
That's right. But you know, it's just one of those things where, look, I'm trying to be as objective as possible. When my partner Rick Lachlan and I, we used to be the Green and White Report with Scout, and then Scout was those websites were purchased by Fox Sports, and it became Fox Sports Next, and then we changed it from Green and White Report to the Jets Beat, and then we lost the site when Scout took it back, and they gave that other site that's there called I'm not going to say their name because you know I'm not happy that we lost the site, but we started doing FansFavorite.com, and we're still doing the podcast, which is now the Jets podcast on fansfavorite.com, on blogtalkradio.com. But the thing is that, you know, I can say whatever I want because, A, I don't have a credential to cover the team. I wish we did, but we don't have it, unfortunately. And I can say it. I think Manish Mehta is a little rat jerk. And, you know, I know some people that do cover the Jets for the different New York newspapers. And you know what? I've told them how I felt. I told them how I feel. And, you know, they're like, well, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. So I know something we can do about it, but I just want to let you know how I feel about it because, like you guys said, it's a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all,
it
you
is.
Know, you don't wax poetically of all the good. You know, you don't go completely and trash all the way, you know, on the bad. You got to be objective, and you got to say, okay, look, this is what's working. Here's what's not working. And you've got to bring both sides of the table to how you cover this team, any team, doesn't matter if it's the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, any professional sport.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's right.
So one thing I will say is, and not speaking specifically on Mehta, but some of the others recently, if you actually read it, seems like they're changing the tune a little bit to be a bit more objective. So maybe some of that feedback has gotten back to them. Now, I hold all reservations out with Mehta. I still think he has a hit piece, you know, saved as a draft. It's just waiting for the first loss, like week one or week two, to get sent. But as far as the overall tone, I think it's gotten a little better from last year to this year.
I agree. So what you're saying is that Mehta's got a limp and that hit piece is in the right back pocket, not the left?
Oh, yeah, it's there. I mean, he's saying some nice things right now, but he's got several on, you know, saved as a draft, ready to get sent out the second something goes wrong. That's what I think about it based on prior history.
Absolutely.
But, you know,
I wouldn't trust him with a 20-foot pole. And even if it's 10 feet, I wouldn't trust them.
So I wouldn't give that guy an unloaded potato gun.
Absolutely. Or even a T-shirt cannon. He might aim for it. He might go below the belt.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Dan, well, thanks for taking time to chat with us, man.
Oh,
no
problem.
Definitely
at
been
all.
A great
Listen,
conversation.
But before you let me go, I have to say this, and I do want to talk about this situation with Tom Brady and the Patriots because,
Okay, you know what? CJ, I didn't bring it up. So I don't lose the bet.
That's right.
We actually bet each other to see how long we can go without talking about this.
I want to bring it up because...
So, you know what? You will feel free to bring up whatever you want. Go for it, my friend.
Okay.
Do it, bro.
If Tom Brady is such the superstar quarterback and the face of the National Football League that everyone wants him to be up in cheating Boston and New England, why the Patriots, who were the better team against the Colts, why does he have to deflate the footballs to do so?
Man.
Why?
Oh, man. You know what? I actually kind of thank you. I actually kind of thank you because you've actually allowed me to speak about this topic that me and CJ had kind of silently agreed, you know, took a blood oath to not bring up on the show. But now that you've brought it up, now we can let it all out.
I was not a part of that blood oath, so you're welcome.
All right. So first of all.
Carlos, you go first.
Okay. So there's a few points here. First of all, many different NFL quarterbacks have come out and said, you know, that gives you a competitive advantage on the field, and it's wrong, and it's wrong. You know, it's one thing to deflate or inflate the football before you hand it off to the refs and say, this is our game ball, and then they test it, and they catch you, and you go back, you say, hey, I tried, but you end up playing a competitive game. It's another thing to have someone in the bathroom deflating footballs after the refs check them. Okay, not only that, then, okay, the act in and of itself, fine. You know what? They inflated the footballs. They killed the Colts that game anyway. Fine.
Right.
Now you're going to go down with this lie. You are going to die on this hill instead of just taking your punishment and saying, yeah, we did it. Robert Kraft, Belichick. Belichick's talking about the barometric pressure of the environment on a football. I mean, they had a conference call about this. You know how ridiculous that was? And it doesn't stop there. Tom Brady keeps lying about it. He continues this lie. And now, after the punishment's handed down, the lawyers get together for several days, and the best they could come up with is the two ball boys used to call each other the deflator, and I guess the inflator, because one was underweight and one was overweight. I mean, how stupid do you think we are?
I don't know.
Hey, you know what? You lose some weight, so I'm going to call you the deflator. I'm going to go to the gym and
that's
get my deflator on. No one talks like that.
No one talks like that. See, this is the stupidity that I just don't understand how grown men can actually write this garbage and give this as their defense about the punishment that they deserve. You know, in my opinion, they should have given Brady 6 to 8 games. They should have given him half the season. But you know what? 4 games, not including the bye week, isn't fine. They should be grateful it's been only 4 games of the season. Because in my opinion, you know what it is? Should have been half the season because you messed up and you messed around with the integrity of the game. Now, real quickly, there's a guy I know who's a Giant fan. He's girlfriend's a Patriot fan, and now all of a sudden he got his balls cut off because he's, you know, what she's doing with him. Because she's the Patriot fan. He's like, oh, no, this is all innocent. No, this is just nothing. Everybody cheats. Everybody does this. Yeah, well, guess what? When Tim Leary was pitching for the Yankees back in the early 90s, Sunday Night Baseball down in Baltimore, the umpires, they stopped the game. They went to Leary to check his glove for anything illegal because the Orioles were saying he's doctoring the ball. Nothing happened. They went back to play the game. Close-up replay, Tim Leary, before he covers his face, there's enough daylight to see a piece of freaking sandpaper coming out of his glove, putting it in his mouth so he doesn't get kicked out of the game. And that really ticked me off. And I didn't even watch the rest of that game because I didn't care about the win. I didn't care about the loss. I was upset because a player on the team that I love, that I root for, I root for the Jets, I root for the Yankees, I root for the Rangers. And this bastard had to do that. That's the same thing that what Tom Brady did. And you're telling me that it's okay to cheat in the NFL, everybody does it? No. You're ruining the integrity of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, I mean, you're ruining the integrity of the game. And this jerk has the nerve to say to me, you're just jealous because you're a Jets fan. No. If I'm jealous, I'm jealous of the Steelers, the Niners, the Bears, the Colts, the Ravens, and the Saints, and the Dolphins, because they won a Super Bowl more recent than our team has since Joe Namath in Super Bowl III. I'd be jealous of every single freaking team. No, what I want to say is this. I want to give credit to Tom Brady for winning the four Super Bowls that the Patriots did. I can't, because they're all tainted. Spygate, Deflategate, they're all tainted. And you jerks,
Dan,
in Boston,
Dan,
you're freaking
totally
jerks,
right,
in Boston have the nerve to say that we're jealous? No.
No.
I feel better now.
No, I mean,
Thank you, Doctor.
Dan, the other, I mean, you know, just the act in and of itself is one thing, but I mean, like, they're just continuing to perpetuate this. Like, no one is going to catch on. And this isn't, like, you mentioned Deflategate and you mentioned Spygate. I mean, there's a history of this team pushing the envelope on several occasions over the past decade and a half. Has Bill Belichick ever served a game suspension?
No.
Nope.
For any of it?
Nope.
Nope.
What do you think
nope.
the Saints have to say about that, when Coach Payton was suspended for a year for Bounty Gate?
I know. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. My turn.
All right. Cover your
you
ears,
guys
children.
Sit down for this one. Okay, ladies, hide your children. Men, you better make sure you're wearing your flak jackets, because it's about to fly.
Here we
okay?
go.
All now,
right.
ever all since right. this whole garbage with Deflategate finally came out, all right, I don't care. People could kill me on Twitter that, oh, you're just jealous that you're a Jets fan, exactly like Dan alluded to. Look, I am a Jets fan. I will bleed green and white until the day I die. Okay, I'll tell you something right now. As far as I'm concerned, Tom Brady has damaged irreparably the integrity of the game. As much as I hate the Patriots, I hate the Dolphins more than I hate the Patriots.
That's
and
right.
it has nothing to do with my hatred of the Patriots. But you want to know something? Now I specifically hate Tom Brady. Not because he won four Super Bowls, not because he laughs and he thinks it's a joke every time he beats the Jets, not because he always has his pretty boy smile, okay, and not for anything, but he should totally kiss the Jets' ass, because if it wasn't for, you know, Marvin Jones knocking
That's
Drew
right.
Bledsoe out of the game, nobody
Mo
would have
Lewis.
Even freaking heard of Tom Brady.
Yeah, it was Mo Lewis.
Or Mo Lewis.
Yep.
But nevertheless, just because of the fact that as soon as this came out, your first public appearance, you had the audacity to stand up there like a spoiled little brat and an arrogant little son of a bitch and to act like you did nothing wrong, okay? You did absolutely nothing wrong. And you know what? That pisses me off to all hell, because you know what? If you had any set of testicles in your pants, aside from the one that Giselle probably has in a jar up on top of the refrigerator, okay, you would have stood up there. You would have taken your punishment like a man, and that would have been it, okay? But the problem was that you needed to perpetuate this garbage over and over and over and over again. And you want to know something else? I'll tell you something else. For Robert Kraft, for you to sit there and say, our Patriots organization unwaveringly supports Tom Brady, you are a friggin' idiot, okay? Because you know that your boy got caught. Everybody and their mother knows that your boy got caught. You're going to blame it on the ball boy. You're going to blame it on the equipment manager. Hell, why don't you blame it on the guy that's responsible for washing your freaking car? Okay? Look, come on now, people. Stop trying to act like we're stupid, okay? And most of all, I totally agree with the points that you brought up. Why isn't Belichick suspended? Sean
exactly.
Payton had absolutely nothing to do with Bounty Gate. Nothing at all. He didn't know that it was taking place. He got suspended for a freaking year. Okay? Why isn't Bill Belichick being suspended? Brady got four games, and the NFLPA is going to rush to his defense?
Oh, we intend to challenge this suspension because we feel that...
Come on now. If I were DeMarie Smith, I would have looked at Tom Brady in the eye and said, bro, you're on your own. Okay? I will never forget Shannon Sharp coming out on CBS Sports Radio and saying straight up, if somebody would have asked me that question that Tom Brady was asked at that press conference, are you a cheater? I wouldn't have just said no. I would have said hell no. They would have asked me for my emails, my text messages. Because if they would have asked me for my underwear, I would have given it to them. okay? The only thing that I would have said to them is that I got this person's number, I got that person's number, I got the other person's number. As long as those telephone numbers do not get in the public eye, you could take a look at whatever you want, okay? That is the proper way that this should have been handled. But because Tom Brady wants to be a douchebag and wants to act like he's the Teflon Don, he took a solid shot on the chin. And you want to know something? I'm glad, because he's a freaking moron. He damaged the integrity of the game. He has damaged his legacy. And as far as I'm concerned, I hope somebody, if he was on fire in the middle of the street, I hope that no one would piss on him to put him out. Okay?
Well said.
As far as the Patriots is concerned, as far as Bill Belichick is concerned, every time we play them, I hope we beat them by 50 points. Just out of the sheer principle that not because they're in our division, not because they're the top dog and we have to beat them, but just because of the fact that you tried to cheat, you got caught, and you lied about it, and you lied to the face of the public, okay? You have little kids that look up to you and look to you guys as role models, and you sat there and spit in their face. How dare you? That's all I got.
Gentlemen, let me pass along this great proverb that was once said many, many times back in the 80s in the world of wrestling. Jesse the Body Ventura, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
This represents the Patriots right now. Win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat.
that's perfect. We're not just talking about, like, oh, we got caught with this one thing, or this one incident is isolated. You have to look at this in the context of a culture of pushing the envelope and cheating that spans over a decade. It goes back to the first Super Bowls. It goes back to videotaping practices. It goes to the Flakegate now. This is college football. And I know you can't do this in the NFL because it's privately owned and private ownership of the teams. I would give them the SMU death penalty if I were Commissioner Goodell.
Yeah.
Death penalty. Wipe them out.
But once again, who handled the punishment? It wasn't Goodell. It was his...
Troy Vincent.
Right, Vincent. Because why? Because Roger Goodell allowed this to continue and to continue and to continue. Do you know that there are 31 other owners in this 32-team league that are not happy that Robert Kraft is getting away scot-free, and that all those years, for the whole, when he took over for Tagliabue, he has not done the job he's supposed to. Fine, he's making the league money. I mean, the NFL draft is absolutely bigger and better than it ever has been when they whole started this thing in a freaking Marriott Marquis conference room. But other than that, Goodell has allowed this to happen. He was handpicked by Kraft. How can you sit there? How can you stand there in front of the freaking podium at every single Super Bowl, at every single NFL draft, before the season gets underway, for this, I love the State of the League address for the commissioners. I think it's a great thing, but now it's more convoluted because why? Because he doesn't want to answer the hard-nosed questions. You have to hand in your questions to the NFL media so Roger Goodell can answer whichever questions that suits him fine. And that is
exactly
what you're supposed
Goodell
to do.
Goodell should have been out after this whole Ray Rice thing. Because right after that point, when he had a judgment, it was a wrong judgment, and he passed along a 2-game suspension, then he reversed course and said, you know what, I'm just going to ban you indefinitely after seeing a video. After that, and just what he has allowed, not just the Patriots to get away with, but, he came in, he was going to be the tough guy commissioner that we're going to clean up the NFL's image. I've not seen a collection of felons more violent than I do right now. I mean, the drug abuse, the rapes, the killings, you have people that were playing that killed people. I mean, I understand. It's a violent game. It takes a certain cat. But, you're supposed to come in and clean house, and it's just gotten worse. And now you can't even handle the one thing you're supposed to do, which is punishment integrity of the game properly. He should have stepped down after Ray Rice. End of discussion, because he has no credibility anymore.
Gentlemen, the shield is not cracked. It's been damaged, and it's in the 2 million pieces. And even if Goodell tries to crazy glue it back together, it's still going to fall down in 2 million pieces. I just don't get it. I just don't understand how this guy is still the commissioner of this league. Even Paul Tagliabue said you're a fraud. Paul Tagliabue and him and Pete Rozelle has more credibility right now than Roger Goodell has. And they're not even commissioner of the leagues anymore. One is retired. The other one is, you know, dead. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I'm sick and tired of this. And even the Boston Herald. How dare the Boston Herald put up a picture of the four Super Bowls that the Patriots won. And on the front page says, why is everyone jealous? We're not jealous. We are upset and angry that this guy, this head coach, who was a failure in Cleveland before they even moved to Baltimore, and this freaking owner has the audacity to ruin the integrity of the game by filming signals, deflating footballs, and even if they didn't know it, it's under your watch, you have to know it. And Belichick should have been fined and suspended anyway for that stupid press conference before they even flew to freaking Arizona for the Super Bowl. Say, well, you know, the barometric pressure and it being cold outside,
the,
and you lose a couple of pounds on
the
ball
craziest.
During the game.
It was absolutely the craziest thing I've ever – I was driving back. I had a long trip, and I had that had ESPN radio or something on. Now, that practice conference came on. I listened to the whole thing. And after I was done, I just sat back and I said, what in the hell did I just listen to? Is Bill Belichick trying to go all scientist on us now? What does this tell me? It tells me nothing.
It does. Absolutely. It tells you nothing. And then all of a sudden, that 20,000-word report that just recently came out, they brought in another scientific expert to talk about, well, you know, maybe the balls will deflate a little bit when the guy made the trip to the bathroom and when he took his whiz, that the balls are losing a little bit of pound per square inch pressure anyway. And the scientist is on the take because the company he works for this sort of baloney, Kraft is a donor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, how much more crap do you need to spew to hurt our ears? I mean, I'm bleeding right now.
And one of the things that gets lost in this whole story that, you know, the ball boys themselves, I mean, they're not boys, they're older guys, right? At least one of them has been around with the team for like 15, 20 years. They've been directed to do whatever it is they're doing to the football, deflating, inflating, whatever. They've been directed to do it, and then they get left twisting in the wind when it's all said. They're the ones that really are suffering. I mean, Tom Brady's not going to suffer. Four games, eh. Draft pick, eh. The Patriots will be fine. But the ball boys, they're not coming back. They've lost their jobs, and there's not a ton of teams that are willing to take on ball boys, and it's not exactly a growing profession.
No, it's not.
No, I can guarantee you that those ball boys or whatever they are, equipment managers, I can guarantee you that, yeah, they were publicly crucified, but $5 says Robert Kraft placed a phone call and said, don't worry, you'll be sent out the door with a nice severance package.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I just can't understand. I just cannot understand why these shenanigans have continued to go along. You know, here's if it was me doing this, okay, and here's two examples, first of all. Let me go back to Conan O'Brien's show on TBS. Drew Brees was on the show before the Super Bowl. They gave Drew Brees two or three different footballs, and they didn't tell him anything. They didn't say a word how much PSIs are in it. They gave him the first one, and he says, yeah, this ball is like 12.5 PSIs, and Conan O'Brien looks at the car like, yep, you're correct. They bring in the other one. Okay, this one's more probably 1.5 pounds below. Okay, looks at the card. Okay, you are correct, Mr. Brees. And, of course, they bring out the one that's completely flat. But, but I mean, if Drew Brees, an NFL quarterback that has played in this league for a good 9-10 years, if he can tell the difference of if the ball is the correct PSIs, that means Tom Brady knows he's been throwing an underinflated ball intentionally. And here's the second thing. You know, Ted Wells, and I feel bad for him because the Patriots are trying to question his integrity of his report, and that has never happened to that man at all. And, of course, he let him have it. But, listen, if it was me, if I was the quarterback that's under the scrutiny, you know what I would have said to Ted Wells? Here's what I would have said, to be honest, to be completely honest. Yes, Mr. Wells, I have always known I've been throwing under inflated footballs. I've asked these guys not to do it. I begged them not to do it. I said to them to please, don't do it. Leave it alone. I tried to tell them. I begged them to stop. They would not stop. Wouldn't that be very credible? Wouldn't it?
No, not really.
Not at all.
But at least he's telling
me just look, here's how I would actually approach it as Tom Brady, which is like, all right, you know what? I've kind of given the guys direction. I like the ball a little less inflated. I never gave them a specific number, but they kind of know how I like the feel of the ball. So, yeah, you know, my bad. I didn't know I was breaking a rule. I thought we were within the ranges that are established. And that's it. I mean, that's at least plausible.
Exactly. All right, you took the words right out of my mouth, but I'm going to add to it. Okay, I would have stood up there. Especially before the Super Bowl, I would have even approached the NFL. I wouldn't have waited them to come to me. I would have approached the NFL. Especially, I'm Tom Brady. I'm worried about my brand. I'm the poster child of the NFL. I would have went there, and I would have had to sit down with Roger Goodell, and I would have brought him a bag of balls, stuff that I use. And I would have said, these are the way that I use the balls. These are the ways that I have instructed the equipment managers to use the balls, and so on and so forth, because This is how I feel. This is how I throw. This is whatever. Whatever his football logic is to it. And you would have said, this is an honest mistake. I was unaware that the balls had to be a certain PSI because this subject has never been brought up.
That's right.
So,
okay, honestly.
You know what, CJ?
Did we
Tom
even
Brady,
know?
I'm going to call shenanigans on
know?
You. You know why? You know why I'm calling shenanigans on you? Because back in 2006, when this rule was introduced, it was proposed by Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. That's how it changed. They brought, along with other quarterbacks, they're like, yeah, you know what? We think we should kind of just manage our own footballs. No other sport does that. And prior to 2006, the NFL didn't do it either. This whole thing could be avoided if the NFL just had officials and, you know, NFL people handling these balls and not leave it up to the teams.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Basketball, one ball. Baseball, unless it goes into the seats, foul affair or home run, you play with one ball. Hockey, if the puck leaves the rink into the crowd, or, you know, you use one puck. That's it.
Yeah, but you want to know
whole
something?
This could have been avoided.
Here's the advantage with hockey, though, Daniel. And
yes.
I know you'll know this as a hockey fan.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Is that you can't mess with the pucks.
No, you
the
can't.
The pucks are, yeah, you can't mess with the pucks. It's a frozen puck. That's it.
That's it.
That's all it is.
That's
it's a hard
it.
Rubber frozen puck. You can't mess with the puck.
Nope. You can't.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah, and in baseball, okay, so you know, ball goes foul, go, you know, home run, whatever. Who's dropping the next ball? It's coming right out of the umpire's pocket. Okay?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
The only doctoring that goes on is on the pitching mound, you know, on the field, but you get caught, guess what? You're out.
Yep.
It's a violation.
Yep.
Other than that, it's a controlled
mm-hmm.
environment. And
yep.
how you could come up with this, oh, well, you know, we kind of prefer our own footballs to be a certain way, you know, so why don't we just trust us to manage it properly. And the NFL's like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Uh-huh. More passes, more touchdowns. Yay, more offense. I mean, that's the kind of incompetence
yeah.
that we've been dealing with.
Yeah, exactly. And now you feel bad for, I mean, look, who do you feel bad for with what Tom Brady has done? You feel bad for great quarterbacks, obviously Joe Namath. You feel bad for Dan Marino. You feel bad for Jim Kelly, for Eli Manning, for Drew Brees, for, you know, all these great quarterbacks ever since the sport ever began. They've never done anything like this. Nothing like this has ever been done in the NFL. Has there been some rule breaking? Okay, maybe some bending. But it's never been to this level at all. Why is it that it's got to be these bastards, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, even Robert Kraft. Why? And why is Robert Kraft trying to fight their, you know, their so-called integrity of their team? Why? Because you want to be the only ones that are such goody-two-shoes, and you want to let every other team in the NFL get tagged for what? Pumping in crowd noise? That, give me a break. I mean, fine.
Mm-hmm.
What the guy did in Cleveland, you're not supposed to have any communication from the press, from the luxury box to the sideline. That shouldn't have happened. He got what he deserved, and that's the end of it. That one, fine. I can accept that. But this has been going on since Bill Belichick asked, some of his friends, hey, you got your video camera? Yeah. Those guys over there are not wearing the Patriots uniforms. You go ahead and film whatever signals they do. You tape their practices. It's okay. Go ahead. You go ahead right there. Yeah, okay. Stand in that corner. Get the cameras ready. You got enough tape? You need me to give you more money to buy more videotape? Go right ahead. Here it is. Here's $100. Here's $200. buy more videotape. Go ahead. Film. I don't care. And then we'll go ahead and decipher it back at our headquarters. That's okay.
That's being a jackass.
That's right. I love it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Now you got us all fired up, Dan.
That's right.
I was hoping to avoid this, but you know what? It had to be said. We had to discuss it.
I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
No,
look,
no,
I
no.
Was
no
part
it's
of
okay.
The butto.
No, it...
I was not involved. I'm glad I was able to bring it out of you.
All right. Hey, so, Dan, before you run off, again, just for the listeners, if you could kind of give out some of your different projects you're working on, contact information
sure
and the such.
Absolutely. Both shows I do are on blogtalkradio.com. The soccer one I do, it's For Your Scenes Fire. So blogtalkradio.com/For Your Scenes Fire. This is all American soccer. It's a two-hour show, first hour national on everything that goes on, not just in Major League Soccer, but I know you guys are in Florida, so I also talk about the teams. They're like in Jacksonville, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa Bay, in the North American Soccer League, and those other minor league teams in Florida, in the USL League and the PDL League.
And right about now, I mean, I live like in the Orlando area, so Orlando City's kind of a big deal, even though they've been stinking.
Yeah. But you know what, though? That was a great opening game, like over 70,000 people at the Citrus Bowl. That's amazing. But don't worry, they're going to build their own stadium. I think they're in the middle of starting to build their own stadium now. It's going to be a couple of blocks. I think it's like two blocks away from where the Magic play. So that's
you
going to
be
really
good
for
congestion. Because it's insane. Like, basically, every Orlando City match is a gigantic frat party, and you can't get around downtown to save your life.
Yeah, I believe it, yeah. Yeah, you should see I know it's a Jets show. Let me just say this. I know the Yankees are partnered with Manchester City and this whole New York City FC. They're playing at Yankee Stadium. That's a fraud team. That's not a real City team. That's a fraud team. I'm sorry. The league wanted it that badly. I understand they won the big TV deal and everything, but you know what? I love it when you're seeing a team that's not really representing New York City, because the shirts are basically the same color as Manchester City shirts are in England. So basically it's a fraud team. It's not a real New York team. I don't care what anyone says.
They should have taken the Cosmos out of the NASL and offered them an MLS bid, personally. But
But the problem is that the Cosmos didn't want to pay the $100 million that MLS asked them for. That's the problem, the entrance fee to be MLS. So that's why Manchester City paid $80 million and the Yankees paid the $20 million just so the team can play in their stadium. And let's be honest, for this sport should not be at MLS 1.0, meaning every team did not have their own soccer stadium. They played at either Giant Stadium, the D.C. team still plays at RFK, but they're building their own new stadium. They played like at Soldier Field. Columbus team played at the Ohio State Football Stadium, the Rose Bowl. You know, we should not be doing this in Major League Soccer, where we're celebrating 20 years of existence. So that's my negativity, my little nitpick, because should not be back at 1.0 MLS. But anyway, once again, the Jets podcast, which is fansfavorite.com. So it's blogtalkradio.com/Jets. Dash fans favorite, and you can read all our reports on all the teams in the New York area as much as we can.
fansfavorite.com with Rick Lachlan and myself doing the podcast. And I also cover the Red Bulls there, as well as another soccer site called soccernewsday.com. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for inviting me. Hope to have you guys on our podcast so we can have some more fun and we can trash Tom Brady as much as we want. And,
well, the seal's been broken, my friend. So
if you guys come up here or we go down there, I hope to meet up and watch a Jet game.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Dan, you have an open invitation. Come on the show anytime you want, brother.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot, fellas. I appreciate it.
All right. Straight fire from my man, Dan. Go check out his stuff. Great, great content. Nice to talk a little bit about something besides football. He covers, you know, soccer, and it is kind of a growing thing out here. So,
mm-hmm.
Wonderful, yep. Wonderful stuff, Dan. Thank you for joining.
No problem. Thanks for the invite. And like I said, anytime you need me back, let me know. I'll take the call.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, listen, before you go, let's go Rangers, baby.
That's right, baby. Let's go Rangers. Let's beat those Bolts.
The Rangers. I'm glad they won, or else CJ would have just been a wet blanket this morning.
Oh, no, we can't have that.
No, we can't have that.
I will say this, though. The goaltending is going to be fantastic. I think I can't believe the guy is 6'7" and used to be a forward.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Oh, he's unbelievable. You just got to beat him on rebounds. That's it. You just got to try to put that rebound away. Because his pads are letting out rebounds like there's no tomorrow. But we all know about Henrik. He's going to be Henrik. It's going to be beautiful.
That's it. It'll be a long series, but I think you guys take this series.
I think you guys take this series. It's going to be Henrik. You guys are going to put away enough. I think the experience just isn't there on the Tampa Bay side. Bishop's a young kid. A lot of those guys are young kids. I think that the Rangers are a more talented group, and it'll come out, although it will be a tough series. It will not
be a gimme. It's definitely going to be tough. I don't put anything past Tampa at all. I mean, they got Stroman, they got Cali, they got Stamkos. They got a lot of good, young, talented players as well. They're definitely a team on the rise. I just think we'll see what happens. I try not to predict during playoffs. Just let it happen. Go one game at a time. But I do feel confident the Rangers are going to move on to the Stanley Cup Final again this year. We'll see what happens. I agree with you. I think it's probably going to be a 5-gamer. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
All right, Dan. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thanks a lot, guys. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
All righty. Take care, Dan.
All right, CJ. So we got to sneak in a little bit of your Rangers, too.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I was trying to avoid that. I was trying to keep it strictly football. But you know what? I had a spot. Had a niche. That's good.
All right, well, that was some straight fire from our man Dan. Great stuff. I think we've kind of let out everything that we're going to let out. I don't think we need a that's all I got moment because we basically had an hour of it.
No, actually, you want to know something? We could actually do a little that's all I got. Come on now. Here we go.
Tuesday. That's all I got.
All right, well, for this segment of That's All I Got, I'm actually going to cover this one, give Carlos a break there a little bit. I do want to announce, as we've announced in a couple of different shows, we are going to be pairing up, and we're going to be partnering up with NewYorkJetsFans.com. They've already announced their podcast lineup. You will continue to hear yours truly here on Sundays as well. I think we're pretty much... What do you think about this time slot? I'm thinking that this time slot might actually be the best one.
It's not bad. We'll wait and see.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see what happens in June when the website launches. I think it's going to be a great opportunity. It's just a great lineup all week long for podcasts, and then there's writers as well that are going to be kind of doing their own content. There's all kinds of exciting things going on. And really, by the day, it just kind of expands. And as I find out about it, I get excited.
Mm-hmm. So we are extremely excited here at the CNC Football Factory. So we are definitely looking forward to the website's launch in June. There's going to be some great stuff. We're so privileged to be a part of the Star-Spangled lineup that they have in store for you guys. It's going to be a great... It's really going to be a great website, and we really hope that it does end up being the one-stop shop for the diehard rabid Jets fan. So that's all I got.
All right, my friend. Well, it's been fun, man, you know, talking Jets football, talking about all the great things going on in the world of sports. I think what we're going to be doing, though, we're going to be taking a little hiatus before the website launches in June. So I know I said this 2 weeks ago, and we weren't going to do another podcast, and we ended up doing two more. But I think for real, we're taking a break next week, listeners. I don't think we're going to get the itch. It's a little bit of a slow season, and then both CJ and I need some time to recuperate. We'll put ourselves on the DL, so to speak.
Yep, exactly.
And we will definitely be out there, and you could always contact us with the Twitter, the Facebook page. But as far as the show, I believe we are going to hit the pause button until we launch with the website in early June.
Yep, exactly, because I got lots and lots of alcohol to catch up on.
Alcohol is bad.
Oh, hell no. No, it's not. I got a lot of alcohol to catch up on.
All right, so stay tuned for the next episode, everybody.
That's right. So, for Carlos the Hitman Sardinas, this is CJ DeSimone bidding you guys adieu. Again, keep an eye out for Twitter. And again, keep an eye out if you guys follow Facebook or the internet, whatever. Definitely check out NewYorkJets.com for the launch date. And in the meantime, Lonely Hearts, take us home.
Fucking off in my tool shed.